Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Drinking a little drink, smoking a little smoke, getting down to business.
For ourselves and for future generations, a new world order.
Blue checkmark ass fucks.
We know that the best is yet to come. God bless you and God bless America.
You gotta go down the hole.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys.
The world is fucking burning.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Nikola Tesla is my boy.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy.
What's up, everyone? I hope we're all surviving this crazy, turbulent time we're living through right now. Today's episode's a good one. We talk about astrotheology and how astrology is encoded in the Bible and lots of other religions, too. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsor, and then we'll get right back into it. All right, rabbit holers, I'm your host, Mitch Rook. Today, we're jumping down the hole with Micah Dank, the author of a six-book series called Into the Rabbit Hole. And with a name like that, I'm already sold. Micah, how are you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm great. Your first book's called Beneath the Veil. You sent it to me. I read it. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to have to order a copy of a hard copy of all your books, actually.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it.
So right now there's three out, or is the fourth one out yet?
That's right. The first three are out. The fourth one's coming out in March. I think March 15th or something.
Okay.
Go figure. Yeah, it's a March.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, no, they come out every 3 months. I don't know why my agent did this, but when she sold my book deal to the publisher that I have right now, mm-hmm. they decided to put out all six in 18 months, which is insane amount of work.
Right. Are they all written, or are you still writing them?
No, they're all written, so that part's easy, but there's still a lot that goes into it.
Right, for sure. So my first question to you, for all my guests really, is what first sent you down your rabbit hole? What brought you to write these books?
Well, I'd moved to Boston about 9 years ago,
mm-hmm.
With a job with an ex that I'm no longer with, and We didn't have many friends. So I spent a lot of time on like Facebook groups and YouTube and such. And I used to run with like Anonymous when I was in Boston too. Like I would go to all their stuff.
Yeah.
I had been like researching stuff, like I'm sure we all have. There's no real second you could pinpoint it. But the second I got into what I talk about in my books, I came across a video by a guy named Jordan Maxwell. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Yes, I am.
I got in with a video of Jordan Maxwell, and he explained mm-hmm. that there was a section in the Bible where the disciples were asking Jesus where to go for Passover. And Jesus told them, he said, go into town, you'll see a man with a water pitcher. And you follow him to his house. And he made two points. He said, number one, a man would never be caught dead with a water pitcher.
Right.
At that time frame, that was a woman's job. He was very effeminate. And two, he said that was Aquarius. He said that the new Passover will be in Aquarius. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. So your books, they're fiction, but they have a lot of information packed into them. You explain a lot of
the only thing that's fiction in my books is the storyline,
right?
As I'm sure you figured out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really enjoy them. It kind of reminded me like a Dan Brown type novel where you're just learning things as you go. It unravels mm-hmm. a lot of information.
Yeah, I've been compared to Dan Brown. Hopefully, I could make that kind of money, but
right, yeah, that'd be awesome. Do you want to explain some of the things that are unique about this series, like? How about the names? I caught on to that. I've heard you listen on other podcasts, what you did with the names of the characters.
Oh, the two main characters are Graham and Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
You put the names together, you get Hannagram or Anagram. So I, all the names are anagrams for people. Like my main character's name is Graham Newsden. Newsden is an anagram for Snowden. Mm. So I base my character off him. And it goes basically as you figure out the places they go to or the people that you meet, the character names, they're all anagrams.
Right. Yeah, I found that really interesting. That was fun to figure them out as I went.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about astrotheology because that's the main theme, it seemed, throughout the first book, at least. I don't know what all your different
it's ones for are. All six. It's for all six.
All six are astrotheological.
Well, the codes are. Mm-hmm. The codes are astrotheological, but there's plenty of like conspiracies that go around in it, as I'm sure you figured it out yeah. as well. Mostly each book is a different conspiracy or a different set of conspiracies, but astrotheology is the code within all of it.
Right, right. Where did you first learn about astrotheology? Was it Santos Bonacci? Because that's
where, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it great. Was. It was. And in fact, when I decoded the Book of Matthew with astrotheology, mm-hmm. I emailed Santos and I had been in contact with him and we kind of went back and forth and he really encouraged me with my work.
That's awesome.
So it was like really good to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. He's been one of the leaders in my search for knowledge, you know. All right. Well, let's just jump into astrotheology then. Do you want to talk about how the Bible is just a big code for astrology?
Yeah, I could definitely go into that. So basically, what we have to do that is I have to go over the 12 signs.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm familiar with a lot of astrology. Most of my listeners might not be as adept as me.
Right, which is why we have to go over the 12 signs.
Right.
Briefly. So the we'll start with Aquarius because I just like starting there. Mm-hmm. Aquarius is the guy with the water pitcher. And then the second sign is Pisces, and that's the two fish.
Right.
Okay. And then the next sign is Aries. And the thing about Aries is that it has March 21st in it, which is the spring equinox.
Right.
Now, in the spring equinox, it's a 12-hour day, 12-hour night. It's also the Passover. You have the Passover then. The Jews celebrate the Passover. Right. Now, which is also the passing over of the sun over the equinox and back on its way up to its height in the summer solstice. In Christianity, the passing over is changed, and it's called the resurrection of God's Son, as they have Easter around. It's the first, it's right around the spring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So it's why the Jews smear the lamb's blood on the wall, on their door to mm-hmm. protect them.
Aries.
Aries. It's why they also blow the ram's horn at the sky. And you have to remember this. The next sign is Taurus, the bull. And you have to remember this is that back in the day, they didn't have any watches, smartwatches, clocks, or any of that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
So the only way they knew what was happening is they had like sundials so they could know what was going on during the day. Or what they had was they could look at the stars because they had to know when to plant. They had to know when to harvest. They had to know when winter was coming.
Right.
You know, they needed to know all of this stuff. And so when Taurus is the bull, so when you look at the sky and you see the bull during that season, that's when you're supposed to put the plow on the bull so that you can plant the seeds and then you harvest them in Virgo and Libra, which I'll get back to in a minute. But Gemini is the twins. It's the story of Castor and Pollux Troy, whose sister was Helen of Troy, which everyone's familiar with the story of Achilles.
Right.
And the war. Cancer is the crab, and in Cancer, it also has June 21st. Now, what happens with the sun is that it climbs a degree on its axis every single day until it hits June 21st, and then it stops for 3 days, and then it stays at that height, and then on the 25th, it lowers a degree. So, and it does that when it comes around down to December 21st,
right.
And then basically it's at its lowest point for 3 days. That's where the Christians get the God was dead for 3 days.
Right, and then he rises up after the third day, right.
And then it comes up after the third day, and then that's Christmas,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's the birth of Christ. Leo is the king, basically the king of the jungle, and the ruling planet of Leo is actually the sun. So when they're talking about this... like Jesus is in his kingdom, or the sun is in his kingdom. They're talking about Leo. So Virgo is the woman holding the wheat stalk. So back when I was saying that in Taurus, you're going to have to basically, you plant in Taurus and then you harvest in Virgo and Libra. Mm-hmm. In Virgo, what happens is you cultivate the wheat, and that's in order to make the bread for the year. Okay. And then Libra is the justice. It's the scales. It's the balance. It's the just one. And the reason it's justice is because it judges God's sun as it passes over the fall equinox, which is in Libra, and right. begins its descent into winter, which is cold, which is death. And the Jews always celebrate the new year around the fall equinox. Libra is also wine season, which is why when you plant the grapes in Taurus, you're able to press the wine here. So Virgo has the bread and Libra has the wine. Those are the two symbols of Christianity.
Right.
So Scorpio is the I'm sorry?
The body and blood of Christ, the bread and the wine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So Scorpio is the scorpion and he's the betrayer. Mm-hmm. And the reason he's the betrayer is because when a scorpion bites you, it leaves an imprint in your skin that looks like a pair of lips. It's where the mafia gets the kiss of death from. That's where that comes from. And it's also why Jesus was betrayed by Judas with a kiss. It's because he symbolizes Scorpio.
Okay. I haven't heard
and
that before.
He symbolizes Scorpio and Jesus is the sun. So the sun is judged in Libra and it's betrayed in Scorpio. Finally, in Sagittarius, it's the bow and the arrow. It shoots the sun and inflicts further punishment on it. Right. In the Bible, it's actually translated to a spear, not just a bow and arrow. And I'll show you where that is, too. It's in the book of Job. Okay. Because on December 21st, we went over that already. It's dead for 3 days, and then it comes back to life. Mm-hmm. And then the final sun is Capricorn, which is the goat. And he's the goat because he likes to climb the mountains. He's the first sun. He's the brand new, off the first round going up. Exactly. So since I went over that, I can go over a couple little things, too. Have you heard the phrase, pride comes before the fall?
Only from listening to your work.
So you know where this is going then.
Yeah.
Okay. So can you define it for me then, as a Christian would?
Well, it's kind of like hubris. If you are too prideful, you might fall down. But you describe it as astrological, Leo the lion, right?
Yeah. Leo is a pride is a lion. A pride is a group of lions. Right. And lion Leo is in July, August. That's before the fall.
Right.
Right. And then you have another one, which is Bethlehem in the book of Micah, which is my namesake.
Right.
Micah says that the prophet is going to come from a town called Bethlehem. And Bethlehem in Hebrew is two words. It's Bet, which means house, and Lechem, which means bread,
right.
which is the house of bread. And the house of bread is the virgin with the wheat stalk. Right. So the Savior is going to come from a virgin.
Virgin. Right.
Right. So he's also called the scapegoat of Israel. He's the son of man. So the scapegoat of Israel, that's Capricorn the goat. He's the son of man. That's the man sign in Aquarius. He's the fisherman of men. That's Pisces, the two fish. Mm-hmm. That's why he feeds the masses with the two fish. He's also known as the Lamb of God or the Ram in Aries. He's right. the Lion of Judah, also known as Leo. The lady holding the wheat stalk, he's born of a virgin and he's called the bread of life. Libra is the scale of justice. He's known as the just one. He's betrayed in Scorpio. He dies in Sagittarius, and it's why he's worshipped on the sun day, the sun day.
Right.
And also, you'll notice that if you ever look at any picture of Jesus, even if it's like white Jesus, mm-hmm. who incidentally, white Jesus was actually
right. He's a Borgia, right? I think
he's Caesar Borgia. Yeah, he's Pope Alexander the Sixth son. You know, the blue eyes and then the white skin. It's nonsense.
Right. Where we get the picture of Jesus is Caesar Borgia.
Right. Right. Because the Pope decreed that, because there was no picture of Jesus before this, and this was in the 1500s. So the Pope decreed that he would be the face of it. And that's basically where it came from. But also, it's why when you look at pictures of Jesus, not only if it's white Jesus, but he's always got two fingers held up. And the sun is always behind him because he is the sun.
There's always a big sun right behind his head. Yeah.
Always. And that's why it's a metaphor. They're telling you.
Right. So where along the history did we skew from worshiping like outwardly the sun to turning it into a man in an actual story.
So there's two things that happened. There's two main things that happened. I don't know if you've heard this yet, but in the year 100 AD, they had something called the Council of Jamnia.
Right. I think I heard you speak on this once before also.
Yeah. They had the Council of Jamnia, which basically the bunch of Jewish rabbis got together because the Old Testament wasn't canonized at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it had been after thousands of years, but the alignment of the books was not in place and such. So what they basically did was they decided the alignment of the books. And what they also did was about 30 years before that, the Book of Mark came out. So what they were doing was they were deciding whether or not to keep this in the Old Testament or start a brand new Testament.
Oh, okay.
So it could have been one long thing. You fast forward to the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, and Constantine united everything. And whether it was on his deathbed or whether that he was baptized or whether he had done it on purpose, you know, it's a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
But where it stopped is basically right around that time that he died, he had a nephew named Julian the Apostate. And Julian the Apostate tried to bring everyone back to sun worship. The original Christians were known as Heliognostics, which right. basically means knowers of the sun knowers, sun worshipers. Mm-hmm. And he tried to bring everyone back. And what ended up happening was in a battle, he was killed with an arrow to the back. But that's where it basically comes from. That's where we basically branch off from.
So it was in the early days, in like a couple hundred, from 100 AD to like 325 AD, at the
yep.
Councils of Jamnia and Nicaea, somewhere in there we went astray.
Yep. Yep.
Interesting.
It became literal Christianity instead of figuratively.
Right. So Jesus has been the symbol for the past 2,000 years, and we all know the fish symbol that Jesus right. is equated to, and that just stands for the age of Pisces.
Right. It's interesting too. Let me just jump in real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
They recently found a couple years ago, they recently found a church in a place called Megiddo in Israel. Okay. And it's from, it was built under another church. Okay. No, another church was built on top of it as right. the time went on. So they dug this thing up and they found this church. It's the oldest church that they found. And right in the middle of it was a giant Pisces symbol mosaic on the floor. And it was commissioned to be that way.
Right.
It was commissioned to be put that way. So the early ones knew. The early ones knew that it was a metaphorical story.
Even the Pope today, his mitre hat, it's a fish. Yeah.
Yeah, you take it off, you turn it sideways, it's a fish.
Right.
From the god Mithra. That comes from the god Mithra, mitre, Mithra. That's right. Where it comes from.
Yeah.
In fact, there was another fish god around the same time, which was called Dagon, which was another fish god. And that's because it's Pisces. It's the fish.
So now apparently we've moved into the age of Aquarius. People were sketching on the date, whether it was the December 21st, 2012 or 2020, mm-hmm. December 21st. No one's mm-hmm. for sure. But allegedly we're now in the age of Aquarius. Mm-hmm. What's going to change? Is there going to be a new figure?
Well, there's supposed to be. I have said before, my own thoughts were this, is that in the age of Taurus, you had the Egyptians. They were the most prevalent people. Mm-hmm. You can look at their hieroglyphs. There's like bulls with the sun in between its horns. Like they can't make it any more obvious than that.
Right.
So they had that, and then they start to fade. And then in the Aries, the Jews come up. Mm-hmm. You know, blowing the ram's horn, killing the lamb, you know, the sacrificial lamb, all this. Passover plate, you have a lamb bone. And basically, you know, that starts to fade away. And then the Christians come up and they become very popular.
Uses, you know, what we just went over. Yeah,
that's what we just went over. And then now we're in Aquarius. And that's why the New World Order is talking about a one world religion. You know, because the thing is that now with the internet, like how we're talking right now, just in general, between with phones and internet and computers and everything is instant. You can't really start an insurrection and create a new world order. I mean, not a world order. You can't create a new religion. So I think that the new religion is going to be two things. It's going to be humanity is going to be raised to vibration.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to grow as a civilization from this because we're awakening. And the other thing is I think the new religion is going to be merging with machines.
Yeah, I really hope we don't have to all have chips in our brains and merge with machines, but it really seems like that's becoming the near future, not even the future.
You listen to Elon Musk, right? You listen to Elon Musk.
Neuralink.
It is Neuralink, but you listen to him on Rogan, right? Which I think you might have. I don't know if you have. You heard him on Rogan. He's like, I've tried to warn people and it was futile.
Yeah.
You know, and then he comes back out and he does the same shit. You know, every time he has a chance to talk about it, he warns people about it. And then he talks about it. He basically sold his soul. Now he's the richest guy in the world.
Yeah, well, allegedly. There's probably families with way more wealth than Elon Musk. But
I'm not talking about like the Rothschilds or people that own the banking system. I'm talking about, and you'll notice that they never make they'll never make like a wealthy list, like the Forbes list.
Right.
The Rothschilds will never be on there. The Rockefellers will never be on there.
They're above that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you also said the rise and falls of civilization, and we're going to raise up a vibration. Is there also a fall, like after we get to a certain point, do you think civilization falls back and we've been going through these cycles?
Well, there's been some very intense work done on this, and I can't recall where I saw this, but basically it says that we go through 12,000 year cycles.
Right.
Where we basically hit a peak and then there's a catastrophic event. Mm-hmm. That basically brings us back down, and then we got to start over.
Right.
If you look at this, if you look at the Sphinx, right?
Yeah.
If you look at the Sphinx, it's a lion. It's Leo. It's a lion. And if you look at the back of the Sphinx, at the tail end of it, notice that it's water erosion.
Right. That's Graham Hancock.
Yes.
There's another one. Yeah.
That's Graham Hancock. But what you'll also notice too is it makes more sense because one, water erosion was there 12,000 years ago. But what really kicked it off for me was that if you look there and you look at the Sphinx, it was facing the constellation Leo 12,000 years ago.
12,000 years ago, right. So it's probably way older than the pyramids, if the pyramids were built 6,000 years ago or whatever they say, 4,000.
Right.
Yeah, right.
But you'll never get an archaeologist to admit that. They have to stay within the world is 8,000 years or 6,000 years.
Right, right. So that's where like Atlantis might come in. They were the high point of civilization 12,500 years ago or whatever. And there's a cataclysm and civilization fell.
Well, you heard what Edgar Cayce said about it, Atlantis, right?
What's that?
Edgar Cayce said that he went under hypnosis and he said that basically what happened is they overcharged the crystals and blew themselves up. Now that's crystal technology. Okay.
Yeah.
Now that's 12,000 years ago or something that happened, the flood, or what was it? 9,000 years before was it Homer? It was Homer. Was it Homer?
Plato wrote about
Plato.
Yeah.
9,000 years ago. Yes. Okay. So basically, you're talking about the catastrophic event that happened there. They overcharged the crystals. Now, today, they're only starting to figure out that we can embed things like movies and projections and information in crystals.
Right.
In fact, they actually physically did this. They embedded a movie and they were able to retract it. In fact, there's two modes that can handle almost what seems like almost unlimited information. And that's to embed something in crystals, which one of my books did. And that's to embed a message on a strand of DNA because you have unlimited space there. And that's my second book. But I'm not going to go into it a little further because that was kind of a teaser.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You got to tease. With crystal technology, that might be where the myth of these crystal skulls come from. People say there's tons of information like the Akashic record
in these
crystal skulls. And
or in Superman, they tease it too, like the Cave of Crystals.
Yeah, it's always right out in the open so they can say, oh, no, you just saw that in a movie. That's not real, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they have to tell you what they're doing. It's called revelation of the method.
Right, right. It gets some of the karma that out of the way if they tell you about it.
Yeah.
So can I talk to you about Saturn Black Cube?
Yeah, sure.
Because when I bring this up, it's kind of a new theory in the in the truth seeking realm. And when I looked up a photo of Saturn and the storm at its north pole, and it's a hexagon, a black hexagon, and that's just right. a representation of a three-dimensional cube, and then you see Mecca and all these other places that basically worship black cubes. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, where that all
started? I mean, it's obvious, like the Jews and the Muslims,
mm-hmm.
who are so closely related,
right? Yeah.
Do you know how to say in Hebrew it's Shalom Aleichem,
mm-hmm.
and in Hebrew it's Assalam Aleichem,
right?
You know, their languages are right there. They're basically cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jews wear the black cube on their head to represent Saturn. You've seen an Orthodox Jew with the black cube?
Right, yeah.
That's what he does. And then the Muslims, they go around the Kaaba in Mecca.
Mecca.
You know, the giant black cube.
Cube.
And they kiss a meteorite.
So it all stems from Saturn worship.
It all does. So it's the same thing with your earrings. Your earrings and your wedding rings. The wedding ring, you have to wear a ring because Saturn has rings. You have to wear a wedding ring. As far as an earring goes, women have their ears pierced because they were told to listen to their god, and their god was Saturn, so they got earrings.
Interesting. I've never heard that take on it. All right. How about this? Why do you think this is what the elites use? Like, is there certain energies at certain times that they can manifest or harvest? Because JP Morgan said that millionaires don't use astrology, billionaires do.
Right. I tell everybody that.
Right.
There absolutely are energies on specific days. The solstices and equinoxes are very powerful days. Anytime there's a planetary alignment, they're very powerful. Have you heard me speak about the Lascaux Caves?
No, I haven't.
So the Lascaux Caves, have you heard of them?
The astrological cave paintings in France.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So basically 40,000 years, they carbon dated these things in the caves in France. And then what they did was they brought an astronomer and they rewound the sky. And they found out that when they superimposed the sky from 40,000 years ago with what was on the wall, Pisces, the fish, was exactly where it was supposed to be. The bull was there. The horse was there for Sagittarius. The ram was there. The crab was there. Actually, at that time, it wouldn't have even been a crab. It would have been a scarab. But it's crazy. And the funny thing too is that on the summer solstice, and only on the summer solstice, the sun would peek into the cave and shine off the wall.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So they've at least been using astrology since 40,000 years ago. That was the
deal. Yeah, and it's and every religion is the same story. It's right. The story about the sun going through the 12 signs or the 12 apostles. Okay, they all represent something. Growth. And then it's betrayed, it dies, and then it's reborn from its ashes. The phoenix does that. There are endless religions that do that.
Right.
Christianity is just the most popular one right now. But that's starting to fade. You can see that. They're starting to push it away.
And we're all going to go into computers and live inside the cloud.
Yeah, that's what's basically going to happen.
It's a shame. Well, Micah, thank you for taking some time and explaining all this to us. Do you want to let the people know where they can find your book and everything?
Sure. Okay. So first and foremost, you can find me at Twitter and at Facebook at Micah Dank. So friend me, follow me. That's fine. Also, if you want to reach out to me and you want to get a signed copy of the book instead of going through Amazon and giving Bezos all his money, you can reach out to me too, and I'm more than willing to do that.
Awesome, man. I'm definitely going to do that. I'm going to order your next couple books, and I look forward to reading them, man.
I appreciate it, man. I hope we went over everything that you wanted to.
Yeah, that was a great intro to astrotheology. I'm going to have to reach out to Santos, see if he wants to blow our minds with all his atom. He's so good with...
He's so versed in so much. But yeah. You can see how what I do is different, right?
Yeah, for sure. But I just like how he knows all the words in every single different language and just ties it all on. It's great. But
yeah, what he does when he breaks down words and makes them sound like other words is it's incredible.
I know. I have to rewind it and watch it a couple times to soak it all in. It's a little wild, but
the first video I ever saw of him, it was called Know Thyself Part 2. One of my friends, Charles, sent it to me, and I watched it, and then I couldn't sleep that night.
I understand that, man. Yeah, you take it and break it down into simpler terms, kind of. He's just out there, kind of.
Yeah, and also, I'm the only one who's doing what I'm doing. Like, I'm writing a fiction series to get this information out.
Right.
You know, because, like, 1984 or Jules Verne books, or 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, for example, or Aldous Huxley, you know, truth and fiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a good way to get to the masses. No one wants to read an encyclopedia, you know.
I actually have my publicist has actually reached out to a movie producer. She's reaching out to movie producers for me now, and also to Hulu, Netflix, Amazon, go figure. Yeah, all of them. She's reaching out to all of them. We're going to see if we can make a series done. I already had the first book converted into a screenplay.
Awesome. Yeah, if any of that comes out, you're going to have to let me know. I'm all aboard.
Oh, for sure. Listen, we could do another one of these too. Another one of these podcasts. These aren't long. What did we do? Like 30 minutes?
Yeah, we're only at half hour right now. Yeah.
Yeah, we did half hour. That's fine. We can do another one
under an hour, but we can always get back together and do another one for sure.
Yeah, we can go a little deeper into this. There's other things I could do. I did a podcast today on Illuminati hand signals and what they really mean. I'll have to send that to you too, but yeah exactly.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that sounds good. We'll have to do another Illuminati one soon then.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate your time.
All right, I'll stay in touch, Micah.
Thanks.
Peace. There you have it, people. That was Micah Dank. We were both feeling a little under the weather, so we cut it short and plan on doing another one. We want to talk about the Illuminati hand signals and symbolism all over the pop culture. But check out Micah's books. Hit them up on social media. All the information is going to be in the show notes. And thanks for listening. Give the pod a like, subscribe, all that good shit on wherever you listen. And take it away, Mulder.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there. And no one, no government agency has jurisdiction over the truth.